Title of today's message is this. Salvation, this is why I brought this up. Salvation involves a workout. Salvation involves a workout. I can only do a few of these and then, you know, I get a little tired. But anyway, let's dive right into scripture. Philippians 2, verse 12. I think I'll just do this the whole message and look out. I will be unstoppable at the end. You know what I'm saying? Philippians 2, verse 12 says this. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to do what? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. By the time I get to about the 200th rep of this, I will be trembling. It's a different kind of trembling, but anyway. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Point number one, joy is found in working out. I'm serious. I just might do this the whole message. Might have to do a few of these, you know. It's not much weight. It's maybe 25 pounds. I don't know, maybe even less than that. Look, I know that you look at me today and you might find it hard to believe, but I used to really do a lot of this. I used to work out a whole lot. Back in the day, especially in college. In college, I think it was my junior year of college, I got second in the all-university arm wrestling competition. I was tough, man. I was going against football players and everything, right? But the reason I could compete was because I was in a phase of life where I was doing a lot of this, working out, getting stronger. Actually, the year before that, my sophomore year, and I'm going to go ahead and share this, Velvet. I'm just going to do it. You know, I'm just that kind of a guy. I'm just transparent. I just say it the way it is. Anyway, my sophomore year, I competed in what's called Greek physique. I know it's a little embarrassing to say it now. I was not a pastor at the time. Pastoring was not even on the radar, all right? I was looking for girls, you know what I'm saying? So, of course, you know, I went up there and competed for Greek physique, and I won. I won Greek physique. I know it's hard to believe right now, but there was a day, man. There was a day. I couldn't fit in a coat like this back in the day. But working out paid off. But my working out today looks a little different than it did back in high school and college. It looks a lot different, actually. Instead of working out my muscles, what am I doing right now? I'm working out my salvation. I'm working out my salvation. Every day. It's not just a 3 day a week type workout. The Lord has me. He's called me to a 7 day a week, all day long, never put down the weights of working out my salvation. I'm working out my salvation. Someone asked why. Why do we need to work out our salvation? Why are we called to work it out? We're already saved, right? It is finished. And the answer is yes and yes to both of those. In Christ Jesus, if you're born again in Christ Jesus, you're saved. It is finished. Yes, it is finished. Yet, that's only the beginning of this adventure called salvation in Christ Jesus. What is this working out of our salvation? There's three different things that we know. First of all, this, check this out. We can't work out what we don't already have. Think about that. I can't work out a muscle if I don't already have the muscle. Working out doesn't create new muscles. It just builds up and makes stronger and a lot bigger, if you do enough of it, the muscles that you already have, right? So we can't work out what we don't already have. Meaning we don't work for or create our salvation by doing works or working out. Rather, we're to work out the salvation that we already have. And where do we get this salvation? You can say it. Jesus, amen. Jesus, all the way from the back. You see, some of the smartest guys sit in the back. And also some of the ones that like to sleep during the service. But that's all right. I've already told you it's better that you come here and sleep and stay home and sleep. That's the way I look at it. You're in the room with the presence of the Lord and all your brothers and sisters in Christ. Anyway, we find our salvation. We receive it from Christ. Salvation is found in faith alone. The Bible says, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for it is by grace that you have been saved. Okay, let me just say, whenever you see the word grace, I want you to think of it this way. It's the power of God. It's the ultimate power of God that can actually take us out of the kingdom of darkness, wash us clean, and bring us into the kingdom of light, into being able to be face to face with the living God, the Holy One. That's grace. That's grace. It's not a pass. A lot of people look at, you know, the grace of God. He'll just turn a blind eye. That's God's grace. Not at all. God's grace is his power. Unlimited power. So it is by grace that you have been saved. Through faith. And this is not from yourselves. You can't work it out. You can't manufacture it yourselves. It's a gift from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. So we're saved by faith in Jesus, in Christ alone, not works. But that doesn't mean that there's no place for works or working out in the Christian life. In fact, there's very much a place for it. Faith and obedience, faith and works, they go together. We're to work out what God has already worked in us. Point number two. About salvation. We don't take the working out of our salvation lightly. Let's go back to verse 12. We don't take this work out lightly. We don't go, whoo, I've already been saved. Jesus did all the work. Whatever, casual. Let's just kind of, you know, cruise along. No. Verse 12, let's look at this again. It says that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Most of you don't go to the gym to work out with fear and trembling. You don't. But we're to work out our salvation in such a serious way. We're being motivated by fear and trembling, by the awe, the power of God, our desperate need for the Lord. And to step into everything that he has called us to step into. The fullness, not denigrating or ignoring any drop of the blood of Christ Jesus, but being fully alive in Christ. So we don't casually work out our salvation. We do it with fear and trembling. Salvation isn't something we simply receive, but something that we do. And part of working out our salvation is this word called obedience. How many of you like the word obedience? Okay, we got a few hands up. Obedience is not a four-letter word. Y'all can raise your hand. Although obey is a four-letter word. Just saying that right now. Obedience is a beautiful thing. There's freedom in obedience. There's breakthrough in obedience. There's rest. There's the ability to be able to sleep at night. In obedience. And there's just the pleasure and the blessings and the favor of God in this thing called obedience. Obedience, working out our salvation. It's the evidence that we're saved. James 2:18 says that. Our obedience, our works, are the evidence that we're saved. A lack of working out really is an indication of a lack of faith. So again, we work out our salvation not casually, but with fear and trembling. And I just want to say this. I'm going to go on record as saying this. There's no such thing as a casual Christian. I'm going to tell you right now, there just isn't. We got to get beyond this, you know, there's no such thing as a casual Christian. Christians are, they're either working out or they're not. They either have a fear and a trembling of the Lord and a heart for God. Number three, talking about our salvation and working it out. It won't work out unless God's already working in us. Notice who does the heavy lifting, verse 13. It is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So lest we think that we earn our salvation by doing enough good stuff or doing enough works, that just got smashed right there in verse 13. It's God who works it in us and through us to fulfill his good purpose. It is God who saves. He both justifies and sanctifies us. So I want to go to, if you're able, just to go over to Titus. Titus chapter 2, beginning of verse 11. Titus 2, verse 11. I just want to give a quick talk about grace. Because as we're talking about salvation, as we're talking about working out our salvation, it's important that we understand grace. And again, grace is the power of God. It's the power of God that justifies us. That initial miracle that, again, takes us from being the old sinner to becoming a saint, born again in Christ Jesus, that transfers us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, justification. That is done by the power of God called God's grace. But there's another side to this coin called grace, and that's the side of sanctification. That's the side of the ongoing act of being saved. So we've been saved, we've been justified. But every day we live life, we are being saved. And that process is called sanctification. Sanctification. And Titus 2, 11 through 13, I think is an amazing picture for us to understand what this looks like. It says, for the grace of God, verse 11, the grace of God that brings salvation, in other words, that grace that justifies us, that does that initial work. God's grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And what does that same grace do? It teaches us. In other words, it leads us. It teaches us. It helps us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. And it leads us and helps us to live a godly, upright life in this present age, right now, as we're waiting for the return of Jesus, our blessed hope. So the workout that Paul is calling us to is called sanctification. So when he's talking to the church in Philippi, he's all excited because they're saved. He's talking to the saints. Remember that from the very beginning. He's talking to those who've been justified in Christ Jesus. And he's talking to those who love the Lord, and he's seeing evidence that they are saved. He's seeing that they're walking this out. They're working this out. This is like legit. This is for real for these believers in this place called Philippi. And he encourages them, it's awesome, it's great, but continue to work it out. Don't think you're already there. Don't think for you guys, you're already jacked enough. You know what I'm saying? In the spirit, I'm looking around the room. There's a couple guys in here that I'm afraid of right now. You're kind of big. You're kind of strong, you know. But anyway, in the spirit, we're never done working out. We're never done working out. And so God calls us to cooperate with him. And again, in verse 13, it says, God is the one who is working this in us. It's God who's doing the heavy lifting. Again, I think it's important that we understand that. By the way, can we deal with this kind of both and reality of doing life with God? This kind of interesting now and not yet kind of reality of doing life with God? I know in America, in this either on or off, you know, kind of a right or wrong, it's either this way or that way kind of mentality. It's kind of hard to understand this. But can we deal with the fact that God has saved us and he is saving us? That it has already been done, but it's still being done? I mean, that's kind of hard for us to always grasp or wrap our minds around, but this is the reality of things right now. And so because God is continuing this work and because salvation's already happened, but it's still happening, we cooperate with God. And this is really our role in all of this. It's our role in our relationship with the Lord. And that is to say yes. To say yes. That's how it all started, right? Is that how it started with you? Started with a yes. Yes. Yes, you are my Lord. Yes, you are my Savior. Yes, I will lay down my life and be raised up to be fully alive in you. Yes. Yes, baptize me, Holy Spirit, in the fullness of your presence and your gifts. Flood me. Yes. Yes, I will cooperate with the powerful work of ongoing salvation and sanctification in my life. Yes. That's really what it looks like. That's our role, is to say yes and to cooperate with God. And he does the heavy lifting. Speaking of workouts, how many of you like to work out all alone? Like physically, you like to work out alone. There's some hands going up. And that can be good. That can be good. We can work out alone, individually, all alone. There's a place for that. But this is what I learned when I was working out. If I wanted to really go to the next level, if I wanted to push the envelope, if I wanted to break through kind of to that next level of weight, it was dangerous. And actually, I was afraid to do that if I was all alone. I needed others around me. It's called spotters, right? I needed some spotters. If I was going to do something I've never done before, something that could be dangerous, that could be hard, that could hurt me, meaning that bar could come down on me and I couldn't get it back up, I needed some people around me. And not only were they there to protect me as I pushed the envelope to go to the next level, but they also were there to encourage me. They encouraged me. They pushed me. They said, do it. Come on, go, 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 go. And plus, I'd be embarrassed if I couldn't do it with other people watching me, right? You know what I'm saying? So there's a place for us working out alone, working out our salvation just between us and the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what, there are places you will not go with your spiritual building up. There are places that we will not go unless we are working out together. Unless we are there with one another, pushing the envelope, pushing each other further, deeper, farther, higher, longer, getting stronger in the Lord together. Read the passage about how iron sharpens iron, right? Well, people working out together, bottom line is they just get stronger together than they would get if they were just working out all alone. So I want to encourage you, if you're not working out with other believers, put yourself in a workout environment with others. Let yourself get pushed and helped and encouraged to that next level. Maybe you're feeling stale in your walk with the Lord right now. Like, you know, I've just kind of been here for years. I've been in the same place with God. I don't feel like I'm really going anywhere. Let's get some new workout partners, some more workout partners. And let's do this together. Men, we've got men's gatherings. Women, we got women's gatherings. We got life groups for of all ages and stages and everything. And anybody wants to come together, whole families, all this kind of stuff. We got people here. Look around the room. There's people all around us right here that we can be workout partners together with and go to the next level. Now check this out. Working out will make us stars. All right? How many of you know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is? Arnold. Come on. If you don't know who Arnold is, man, you've been like, where are you from? You know what I'm saying? Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? I'll be back, you know? And governor of California, ultimately, right? Well, how did Arnold Schwarzenegger become a star? From working out, right? Right? How did he get noticed? Because all the workouts that he did, 5-time Mr. Universe title, 7-time Mr. Olympia title. The only reason I know that off the top of my head is because I researched it earlier. I'm not like some kind of weird stalker of Arnold, okay? I didn't know that, all right? I looked it up. I Googled it, right? And so anyway, you know, he became famous. He became a star because of his working out. His working out. That's what he's going for? I'll be back. You know, I thought about that, by the way. I thought about calling up Arnold because, you know, I'm sure he would take my phone call and know who I am. But I called, I thought about calling him and go, you know, I'll be back. I said, Arnold, you know, that can be true if you're born again in Christ Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But otherwise, it's bad for you. Anyway, so point number two is this. Point number one is joy is found in working out, and we all need to be working out. Point number two is joy is found in being a star. But the Bible's talking about a different kind of star than like an Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of star that we see in the world. Check this out, verse 14. Do everything without grumbling and arguing. Now, this is in the context of working out our salvation, right? So I look at this as stop arguing and complaining about how hard it is to follow Jesus. Stop complaining about, you know, it's just hard to serve people and people are messy and all this. I mean, pastors, we were just talking about this week. People are messy. And we're like, praise God, you know, woo. Anyway, people are messy. I'm messy. Talk to my wife about that. Not like around the house. I'm very neat. I like things picked up. But just me is, you know, anyway, can be messy. But do everything without grumbling and complaining, because nobody likes working out with a complainer, right? Nobody likes coaching a complainer. I used to be a coach, man. I couldn't stand it. If somebody complained, they'd be on the bench. You know, I mean, come on now. We don't have room for complaining, right? But so do everything. Do this workout. Live for Jesus. Live the Christian life without grumbling and without arguing. Why? So that you may become blameless and pure. Children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. That sound familiar? Then, because you're working out your salvation, then you will shine among them, among the world, among the culture. You will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Becoming stars. Why? Because we're just living for Jesus. Because we're cooperating with God. Because we're working out. I work out, right? Anyway. That sounded heavy, didn't it? And I dare you to try it, man. I just dare you. Christians who do life God's way are impossible to miss. I mean, seriously, people who are filled with Jesus, who are living for Jesus, who are doing what Jesus would do or told them to do, they're impossible to miss. You're going to see them. And in a culture that's living in the dark, we shine brightly like stars. Several years ago, three of my kids were in a school. It's a private Christian school that they were in. But still, my kids shined. It's what I thought of when I thought about stars shining, about us being stars and shining in our culture. My kids were in this school and they were shining. Why was one of my kids the class president? Why was another one the chaplain of the entire school? And why was the third kid who was in that school, why was she the, what's her face? Why was she the principal's favorite, like under the principal's wing, like along with whatever? Anyway, why? Why did they shine like stars? Because, frankly, they were just being who they are, saying what they know and giving what they have. They were just filled with Jesus and filled with freedom. And in this culture of this particular school, it was a little legalistic and very religious. But my kids were coming filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the freedom of God, shining with the love of Jesus. And they were noticed. They were noticed. And it's still that way with my kids. Praise God for that. They shine even brighter than their dad most days. I'm just saying, they're awesome. But that's how we should be. When we show up in a room, when we show up on a job site, when we're in the office, whatever the environment might be, we're in the classroom, whatever it might be, we should be shining. We should be different. We should be those people that it's like people are going, they're pretty nice. They're pretty awesome. Why are they like that? Why do they look like that? Why do they react like that? What's up with them? Well, they're shining like stars in the heavens because They're filled with the Spirit of the living God, and they're working out their salvation with fear and trembling, without grumbling, without complaining and arguing, but filled with joy and peace that comes from Jesus. The world needs more stars. We don't need another Arnold. We can only handle one Arnold Schwarzenegger in this world. But this world needs more stars. Not more professional athletes who think they know everything and are going to tell us how to live. No, we don't need that. We Jimmy, man, you're like a Mr. Sportsman. That's good. You're growing up, brother. That's good. The world needs more stars that shine like the sky in the heavens. The world needs more believers who are showing up, walking in the room, and bringing the light, the love, the Spirit of the living God. That's what this broken, hurting, dark world needs. And that can be and should be every single one of us. And how does that happen? By being saved and by working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And just being who we are, saying what we know, and giving what we have. Amen. Shining the light of Christ, like a lighthouse. Somebody came up here and somebody said something, I think it was today, about, it was during pre-service prayer, and something about being a beacon. I think it was Judy Housley. You were praying, and you spoke those words about us being a beacon that would draw people to Jesus. That's exactly what this means when we shine like the stars. We become a beacon. We become a lighthouse. And back in the day, about 2010, do the quick math, 11 years ago, the Lord gave us a word. And this is the word the Lord gave us as a church. He said, like a lighthouse, Evident Life Church exists to be a beacon of light in the midst of the darkness, to be a safe harbor for those going through the storms. And so as we work out our salvation, we shine like that lighthouse. We become a lighthouse in our community. And people go, that's a place that I can go to find help. That's a place. Those people over there, I'm in the middle of a storm. I need what they've got. A lighthouse. So let's be that lighthouse today. Let's be countercultural. Countercultural. Let's choose to represent the kingdom of heaven and not try to fit in and represent and be all that in the kingdom of this broken, dying, going to hell world. Let's shine like Jesus. Let's share Jesus to a lost and dying generation. Let's be filled with that oil that burns for Jesus. It comes from intimacy with him. Do you know back in the day, a lighthouse, the light was actually an oil lamp that would burn. Then they had these like magnifier things on it that made it super bright so the ships could see it and everything. But it's the oil that created the light. And I want to say right now that it's the oil, the intimacy with God that creates the light that shines. Being with Jesus. Knowing him, and then shining him. Point number three, joy is found in leaving a legacy. Joy is found in leaving a legacy, second half of verse 16. And then because you hold firmly to the word of life and because you shine for Jesus, because of this, I will be able to boast on the day of Christ. So Paul is saying, because you as a church are working out your salvation, because you as a church are shining for Jesus in the community where God has placed you, I'm going to be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice. What is rejoice? Be filled with joy with me. So the great apostle Paul is rejoicing. He's filled with joy. Remember, he's in prison right now when he's writing these words. But he's rejoicing. Why is he rejoicing? Because he sees that he's leaving a legacy. of stars that are shining brightly for Jesus. Of Jesus followers who aren't just casual, but are working out their salvation with fear and trembling. A people running after Jesus. Paul is leaving a legacy of Jesus followers. I want to leave a legacy. I want to leave something behind. I invest some stocks. I've been investing in cryptocurrency. Don't judge me. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just got to be a little crazy. But I've been watching. I've been learning it. And so I've been doing some investing in these things. And whenever I look at my portfolio and I see it going up, it feels really good. It's like it's pretty exciting. You know, things are growing. Things are increasing. But all these investments, temporary. They could disappear like that. Sometimes they do. They just disappear like that. They can be gone today, tomorrow. Well, probably tomorrow because the stock market opens tomorrow. But anyway, I mean, it can go that fast. And in the end, I can't take it with me. Nothing. I can't take it with me. Will I be able to leave anything? Will I leave anything behind financially? I don't know. Maybe. I don't really care. My kids care probably, but I really don't care that much. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. It'd be nice if I could do it, but I mean, whatever, right? But here's the reality. The greatest investment and the greatest legacy that I can leave and that I want to leave is Jesus, a legacy of Jesus followers. That's what I want behind me. That's what I want left. When I leave, that's what I want left. I want kids and grandkids that love Jesus and know Jesus and are known by Jesus and are shining like stars for Jesus in this world today. That's the legacy I want to leave. That's it. The greatest legacy I can leave is others, people, multitudes of people that know Jesus, that have been discipled into Christ Jesus, because I walked on this earth and I just poured out whatever God gave me to pour out. That's the legacy that I pray and desire to leave. People who have been eternally changed. And I want to leave a legacy of an example of living for Jesus. Parents, I think one of the best ways we leave a legacy is by our example. Because our kids, whether they're just little babies or 25, 35-year-old sons and daughters, they're watching. They're picking up what we're putting down, as they say, right? They're looking at our example. And in so many ways, it's kind of scary. They're becoming like us in so many ways. I want to leave a legacy where my kids and grandkids are seeing Jesus. So on this Mother's Day, these moms who we've been celebrating and recognizing, who hopefully you've got your little gift bag and moms, you're going to get a rose as you walk out of here, is these moms. Some of them for years and years, some of them are just brand new moms, but they're selflessly giving and investing in their kids. They're leaving a legacy. They're pouring into their kids. They're leaving a legacy. And parents, I pray that when we look at leaving a legacy, don't let the world force us into their mold of what a legacy looks like. I mean, it's important. We want our kids to make good grades. We want our kids, if they're athletic, to be, you know, to have opportunities for youth sports and all these kinds of things. We want these things for our kids. But I'm going to tell you what, all that stuff is, frankly, so secondary, so far down the line from teaching our kids and raising our kids and putting our kids in front of Jesus to know Him. Is that the legacy that we're investing in? When we do, we're going to find joy. So how do we do all this? How do we find joy? We work out, meaning we work out our salvation. We live every day for Jesus. Number two, we shine for the Lord. We be like a lighthouse. And number three, we leave a legacy of Jesus followers. I want to stand up. We're going to spend some time right now just pressing into the Lord.